Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Well, by the time a child reaches the third grade, what skills should she have? Okay, maybe we shouldn't expect her to be able to compose a symphony or memorize equations in organic chemistry, but we commonly assume that a child should be able to have some proficiency in reading. It is the first of the three R's, after all. Well, a new report out today finds that nearly half of Massachusetts third graders are at below proficient levels on the state's MCAS reading test. And among low-income students, almost two-thirds were not reading proficiently. Well, why? Massachusetts provided $4 million to cities and towns for literacy programs, but this massive achievement gap remains, so what can we do about it? Do you see a lack of literacy amongst third graders? Or maybe we're not doing enough and there are other ideas we should take up. Is something not working in schools? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or find us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Radio Boston. Joining us now to talk more about the findings in this new study is Richard Weisbord. He's education lecturer with Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Actually, are you at the Graduate School of Education, I should say?
Both places.
Oh, you're all around Harvard Square up there in Cambridge. And he's also chairman of the report's advisory committee. Welcome to Radio Boston, Richard Weisbord.
Great to be here.
Also with us is Teresa Lynn. She's executive director of Read Boston, a city-funded program that works with preschools, daycare centers, and other groups to promote early-age reading among low-income families. Teresa Lynn, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you. I just want to point out it's a nonprofit.
Not city-funded. Oh, not city-funded.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Richard Weisbord, let me just start with you and elaborate or take us into the details of what this the study that was released today found. Why is it that it seems like almost half of Massachusetts third graders are testing at below proficient levels for reading?
Yeah. Well, there are a number of reasons, but a few, let me just highlight a few. I mean, one of them has to do with instruction and the quality of instruction that kids get in elementary school, but also the kinds of reading support they get for developing emerging literacy skills prior to elementary school and preschools and childcare programs. And there are some great reading teachers out there. But, you know, we also have a problem of teachers not getting the support or the training or the deeper, intensive enough professional development they need to really become strong teachers of reading. And we have many preschool and early childhood providers who have virtually no training or support in teaching kids the foundational skills that they'll need to become strong readers.
Let me ask you, Teresa Lynn, you are work on the ground trying to promote early childhood literacy. Were you surprised or not surprised that the number was so high, almost 50% of third graders not proficient?
Not surprised. Over the past couple of years, we've been tailoring and tweaking programs to go much more for depth instead of breadth. So we really were not surprised by the results.
Does this mean that we've actually kind of this has been hovering under the surface for many years in Massachusetts?
Well, the reading rates have been going up. The problem is they're not going up enough. It's a very marginal increase.
Okay.
So there's not a slide, but it's not enough.
Richard Weisbord, if I can actually take a quick step back in the minute or so we have before the break. I keep saying this word, reading proficient. When we say that, what is it that we mean that children are below a proficiency level in reading?
Well, we're really talking about the MCAS and how kids scored on the MCAS in third grade. And so, you know, it's a composite of different domains of reading, comprehension, phonemic awareness, a number of skills. And we want kids who not just can read words on a page, cannot just decipher the words on a page, but have critical thinking skills and bring rich comprehension and knowledge to their reading. So reading is a complex skill.
Mm-hmm. Well, Richard Weisbord and Teresa Lynn, both stand by, please. There's a lot more to talk about this on the impact and what it means for students and future generations of Massachusetts residents. We'll talk more about it when we get back. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. If you want to join us, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about sobering new findings on reading proficiency amongst Massachusetts third graders and what it means in terms of the educational system setting those kids up for the rest of their lives. Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK with your thoughts. I'm joined by Richard Weisbord. He's education lecturer at Harvard University, both at the Kennedy School of Government and at the Graduate School of Education. And he was also a chairman of the advisory committee that helped put out this report. And I should say that it's from the report was commissioned by Boston-based Strategies for Children. Also with us is Teresa Lin. She's executive director of Read Boston, a nonprofit program that works with preschools, daycare centers, and other groups to promote early age reading amongst low-income families. And we just sort of touched on this question before the break, what we mean by reading proficiency, because all this talk about third-grade reading level really got us wonder about the science and research that goes into writing for third graders. And we've got a little more on that with Radio Boston's Andrew Phelps. He investigated the question, joins us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Meghna, how are you? So listen to these kids read, and one of them will, you'll hear that one of them will probably graduate high school on time, and the other one may not. I want you to try to guess which one.
We should pick the hottest day of the summer to go to the circus, he said.
We should pick the hottest day of the summer to go to the circus, he said.
Well, just based on ease of reading, I would guess it was the second child.
You're probably right. Those are kids, by the way, from the Tobin Elementary School in Cambridge. And, of course, we've been talking about how successful a predictor third-grade reading skills can be for high school success. The starting point for the study that we're talking about today was MCAS scores for all the third graders in Massachusetts. And I asked the lead author, Rick's colleague, Noni Lasso, how a standardized test could possibly gauge a kid's reading skills. She basically said a student simply reads a passage and then has to answer questions about it. Here's Professor Lasso.
You might not have understood some figurative language that was in there, which hinders your ability to answer that question. You might just not have read it fast enough. So one thing is, if your reading is too slow, then you can't remember what you read from the beginning to the end.
So I imagine that writing a test designed to be comprehended by the average third grader is pretty tricky. So what's average, really?
Exactly. Writing is complicated. I called Bill Dubay, a man who has studied and written a lot about readability. He says the challenge of these tests lies in interpreting the results.
They're never quite sure what the answers mean. Does it mean that the student understood the question? Does it mean he understood the passage? Does it mean that he understood the passage but did not remember it?
So millions of dollars and a lot of research goes into writing clear, culture-neutral, readable tests and textbooks.
But is there, Andrew, really a way to measure readability? What is actually the third-grade reading level standard?
Well, turns out you can reduce it to a mathematical formula using, for example, the Flesch-Kincaid test. Take the average number of words per sentence plus the average number of syllables per word, do some arithmetic, and you get a readability number, which equates to an elementary school grade level. Reading specialist Bill Dubay says every passage that gets in front of a third grader is run through one of these tried-and-true readability tests, which haven't really changed in more than 60 years.
WBUR.org's Andrew Phelps, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So back with us are Richard Weisbord from Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and the Graduate School of Education, and Teresa Lin with Read Boston. Richard Weisbord, let me ask you. So Andrew took us through sort of the nuts and bolts on how we measure reading proficiency and what readability means. But in terms of programs that currently exist in Massachusetts schools to get children to a proficiency level, what do we have and what's working versus what's not?
Yeah, well, we can talk about schools. We can also talk about out-of-school programs and parents and things that, you know, there are a variety of actors here and things that people can do. You know, I think what the data seem to point to or seem to suggest is that it is high-quality instruction that matters the most. It's having a teacher who really understands the reading process, who's spending a lot of dedicated time on helping kids developing literacy skills, who can take an assessment and learn how to and know how to translate that assessment into effective practice. So the schools that are having this success have high-quality instruction. They have instructional leaders, people who can really organize teachers around a strong instructional process.
We've got a lot of people who want to join us on the line. Bridget's calling from Waltham. Welcome to Radio Boston, Bridget.
Hi. I'm calling because I actually work with third graders as a support staff, and one thing I've noticed, I've worked in education for 10 years now, actually. The students who have support at home, who read at home on a daily basis, who work with parents a lot regarding doing homework and just have the support of parents at home, regardless of their income, are often the ones who succeed in all aspects of school, including standardized tests.
And it's really clear to you, it's clear to you when you work with them that these kids have been getting assistance or support at home.
Sure, and you can tell by the consistency of homework, the way that they talk about what they do on the weekends, that sort of thing.
Bridget, thank you so much for your call. I actually want to turn that to Teresa Lynn. Is this one of the things that you try to encourage with Read Boston and students getting help from friends and family members at home?
Yeah, that is critical. I mean, especially starting at birth, we've spent a lot of time talking about the school-age child, but really a lot of these predictors happen by the time a child is 3 years old. So the parent is the primary teacher, as it is. And the more they talk and interact with the child and use strong vocabulary and rare words and experiential learning, including reading, the better off a child will be in terms of reading.
Do we have a particular challenge when, say, for a number of students, maybe regarding reading, that parents' first language isn't English, so they wouldn't be reading English books at home anyway?
That is an issue. What is the research shows that the parents should read in their home language. A child that develops a rich vocabulary in another language, it's very translatable to English. Even parents with very low literacy in English can read books by talking about pictures, by talking about events, by talking about various daily experience. Storytelling is a big part of literacy. So a lack of literacy and a lack of English can be overcompensated.
Can I speak at a quick message for parents here about this? So, you know, I'm just reinforcing something Teresa's saying. Vocabulary, the amount of words you know is the strongest predictor of reading success. Reading success is the strongest predictor of school success. You develop vocabulary when your parents... your caretakers are talking to you, singing to you, telling stories with you, engaging you in conversation while they're cooking, while you're taking a bath, while you're going for a walk. It's that rich language that forms the foundation for reading success.
Let's roll through a couple of calls here. Sarah's calling from Framingham. Welcome to Radio Boston, Sarah.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm an immigrant. I was born in Brazil, and I went to Boston Public School my entire life. And in elementary school, everybody thought that I was an underperforming person because of the fact that at that time my parents and I were learning English together, basically. And so I did have problems reading, but that was because of the fact that it wasn't my first language. And then it was in sixth grade that I reached my peak, and I think other students as well that were immigrants reached their peak in sixth grade, and things just clicked. And then I went to Boston Latin Academy, and now I'm a lawyer. So maybe these underperforming kids aren't really underperforming in the sense that they're not getting... This may not hinder them in their future.
Sarah, thank you so much for your call. I think we have something slightly related to that with Beverly from Jamaica Plain. Welcome to Radio Boston, Beverly.
Hello.
What's your thought today?
First of all, I'll tell you, I have an agenda. I'm a Boston public school teacher. And it disturbs me to hear your very first speaker talk about lack of teacher training as a major factor in lack of reading achievement. Your last caller and other callers have already mentioned that your highest indicators of academic success are your socioeconomic status, your family income, your parents' level of education. All of those are such important factors that you have those for 5 or 6 years before you ever enter a public school. Then we expect one or two or three teachers to make up for those 5 years of socioeconomic deficits.
Mm-hmm. Beverly, thank you so much for your call. Let me actually turn your concern straight to Richard Weisbord.
I don't think it's the right way to think about this. I think, you know, parents have a huge role to play. I think teachers have a huge role to play, too. And if kids aren't reading, everybody's got to step up here and do better. And I think, you know, teachers are out there working incredibly hard. I don't think they're often getting the support, as I said, and the training they need to teach kids, often kids who are coming to school with these reading delays. So, you know, they have a harder challenge when kids come to school with these reading delays. But they have to, you know, we have to meet that challenge.
Teresa Lynn, let me ask you, some reaction to this study that came out today included members of state government from the Department of Education saying the state has to do a better job. Well, what is it that the state could do to increase reading proficiency amongst third graders?
I think we could look at resources differently. Clearly, in this recession, we're not going to add more to the pie. But if we think about what's working and do more of it, and what's not working and don't do it, it needs a real look at what's going on. I think the other thing the state needs to do is look at a really young child, 0 to 3 years old. To focus on a child at third grade, you know, part of the report points out that children are not assessed in reading until third grade. That's very late. to identify a reading problem that you're trying to address. So children need to be evaluated and assessed earlier and have more supports earlier in the pipeline.
Well, that's Teresa Lynn. She's Executive Director of Read Boston. It's a nonprofit program that works with preschools, daycare centers, and other groups to promote early age reading amongst low-income families. Teresa Lynn, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And also, we were joined by Richard Weisbord. He's Education Lecturer with Harvard's Kennedy School of Government and Chairman of the Reports Advisory Committee on Third Grade Proficiency in Reading. Richard Weisbord, thank you for being with
us. Thank you.
Stay with us. There's much more ahead. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.